even if they have success, it's the consistency of it, right? Mm-hmm. Like the guys that are really, really good, it's not that they're amazing at sales. They're just in the seat every day, 250 days of the year. And the guys that really struggle will come in and they'll do really well. And then they see one little shiny object or maybe they have one bad day. And I think in any new venture, it's like, first there's excitement. You're excited about it. You're like, wow, this is going to be amazing. Mm-hmm. You know, the excitement wears off. You're like, okay, this is a little bit of harder work. You have one bad thing that happens, and that's where people quit. But correct. The people that are successful are the guys that push through that little bit of adversity and then get to that gold. And I think a lot of agents struggle with that because there's so many options out there for them. There's so many ways to sell insurance, so many lead aggregates. They all work. You just need to stick to one.
What is up? Welcome back to the CA Power Player Podcast. I'm your host, Cody Askins. Today we are in studio with a real Canadian dude. This dude all the way from Toronto to Springfield, Mo, in our office. He actually is coming to hang out at our virtual conference that is tomorrow. I'm not sure when this will air, but he's speaking at our 8% virtual conference tomorrow. Good dude. Enjoy hanging out with him. Bunch of energy and helping agents make money, which I know you guys like. It's weird if I bring somebody on the podcast that doesn't help you do better in life. And when I do that, just tell me, hey, Cody, that was a mistake. Don't do that again. And I won't. Either way, please welcome from Unreal Media, Inc., Mr. Chase McAllister.
Thanks for having me, pal. Dude, appreciate you.
Thanks for coming back, man. In person, too, by the way. Let's go. In person. I love it, dude.
Pain in the butt to get here from Canada, but that's, I think, for every state that I go to, it's a pain in the butt.
You know it would be harder? China.
Yeah.
For sure.
That's true.
From Canada.
That's true.
You know?
Man, I really appreciate you bringing me here and having me on the podcast. It's been, you've been an absolute role model in my career and somebody that I look up to all the time and has been, you've been a key piece to, you know, our progress, whether you've been hands-on in my life or not. Sure. You know, you are the pinnacle that I strive towards. So thanks, I appreciate you having me, man.
Appreciate you, man. Thank you for the kind words.
Thank you.
You have this cardboard sign saying call your leads circulating everywhere. Yeah. It's been one of the most creative things I've seen in a long time. You know what it kind of reminds me of? I did this thing where I was trying to promote our virtual conference, like, I don't know, Dylan, like 4 years ago, probably, right when COVID came out, we were like, let's throw a virtual conference, right? It was like perfect timing. And I found I said, how do we get people's attention? And I went and found an old computer and monitor that didn't work. And then I smashed them on the ground to start an ad. And then Dylan looped in some, it was like some, I don't know, some type of WWE or John Cena.
Dun, 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 dun!
Yes. John Cena music along with that.
That's funny.
The call your leads things reminds me of that. But just because, and better, because you're getting other people involved.
Yeah.
It's circulating and it's a epidemic problem. Mm-hmm. The people don't call them.
Yeah.
So,
and for us it wasn't like we just thought let's do a cardboard sign. No, it just kind of
let's
developed.
Go homeless.
Yeah. We came up with a skit one time. It was like, "Hey, what if I just followed this guy around with a cardboard sign? I was haunting him." And then it went sort of viral. I wouldn't say it was viral, but it hit a lot better than any of our content. And then I just looked at it. It was like, you know, ultimately everybody in the industry, in the insurance industry, it's a pretty bland industry. Let's be honest. It's a boring topic to talk about. Yep. Sales in
old,
general.
Old. Yeah. Stale.
And so.
Crusty.
For me, it was like, how do we want to add some humor to this, but not only like stand out? And at first, I was scared to do it. Because what if people don't take me seriously? They think I'm just a joke. I'm making a mockery of the industry. That's and funny. It has happened. But then, but it did the opposite, where now all of our, you know, serious content gets more views because they're looking for the funny stuff too, right?
Yeah,
and it just was like, okay, it worked. Let's run with it. And the nice thing with the sign, it was something that's simple that I could do 1,000 times.
Yep.
And do it quickly. Where I always have it in my car or around me. So if I'm driving by a protest, I'm with the wife. Okay, I'm gonna get in the middle. You take a photo, and it's super quick and it's good, easy content.
You do that?
Yeah, all the time. Like we went to the
fair. Do they think it's weird? Or do they think you're just a part of it?
Yeah, I don't care either.
Or if they ever realize that you're not a part of the protest,
they have no idea. Probably we have some
funny
ones.
That's freaking amazing.
There was a protest for Trudeau because he was in our city. Trudeau's our prime minister. We won't talk about him.
I've heard about that a little, but I don't follow the news much. So
we were in there, in the middle of the protest holding the sign, and it's something that you can do.
Did they just thought you just randomly saw it and wanted to join in? I wonder how often that actually happens. That's freaking funny, by the way.
You know, we get some crazy looks, and the thing is it doesn't make sense to anybody that's not in sales, right?
Yeah.
Call your leads. What does that even mean?
But even if you're outside the industry, they still get it.
Yeah.
I bet you have people outside the industry that are in different real estate, et cetera, that like solar, et cetera, that get it.
And that's what's been kind of cool. It's like expanded and grown. And ultimately, it just came from imperfect action. And I think it's crazy to think, but our entire brand is based off of a cardboard sign with marker on it, right? Like no fancy website. It just kind of spiraled. And we took it and just ran with it. And now 90% of our content is going to be funny skits that go really well. I think we had one TikTok that just got 900,000 views, is insane.
Man. That's amazing.
Which is insane. So, that's cool. the motive. We're trying to one, add some life back to the content and not just be serious stuff all the time. Mm-hmm. And then which ultimately. Ultimately grow the brand, and it's really worked.
I think that's why we get along so well. Is I'm not I'm not funny. I'm getting better over the years, but I'm just not. You know, even that's funny, I guess. But in general, I'm not. And so, you know, having people around me that are my wife's funnier than me.
Mm-hmm.
I hope she doesn't hear this because she'll never let me live it.
I would have to agree. Yeah. Shout out to Lindsay.
Yes, but you also mentioned too. So I think the humor is cool, but you also mentioned a TikTok. Dude, we just had this YouTube short about me doing push-ups. It's up to 695,000 views that's in the first 28 days or whatever.
And on YouTube, that's
yeah. And the TikTok is easy. The first 20 days, it only had 10, 15,000. Look at that hockey stick, though. It literally went nuts.
And it just takes that one share, the one influencer that shares it, and then it just goes.
And you know what's funny is it's like the best video for people to make fun of me because I don't look like I've done that many push-ups, really.
But to that topic, it's I think why I've done so well with the brand is you meet me in person, you're getting the exact same person you see online.
Yeah, you are.
100%. And I think authenticity wins more than anything else. And that kind of goes to show it's being vulnerable and vulnerable online. Totally. It actually goes way farther than just being authentic.
That's what people are looking for, too.
I mean, non-authentic, but.
No, dude, I think you're right, man. People are looking for people that are actually themselves.
Yeah.
You don't see that a lot. It's easy when you're first out doing content to be someone other than you. You think the audience wants to be you different than who you are.
Yeah.
And you almost feel
nervous, too. It's I don't want them. What if they don't like me, you know?
Correct. Yeah.
Once you get over that hump, though, then it's liberating because it's okay, I can just really be myself around anybody, right?
And one of the best things people can do is be more vulnerable. Mm-hmm. I've learned this a lot this last year, taking over our marketing company in the last 9 months have just been way more difficult from a career standpoint, right? This is about you, so I won't get into all the details.
No, you're good.
Dude, it's been freaking tough. But it's allowed me to be more vulnerable, connect with audiences better, speak better, and share what I'm going through because everybody's going through stuff.
Yeah.
You know, my mom just finished her 6 month of chemo, and we're hoping it's her last month ever.
Yeah.
Thank you. And dude, people resonate with that because most people know somebody who's had cancer.
Yeah.
And the fact that you're sharing some of that and just being you and, you know, it helps everything. Helps in speaking, helps in podcast, helps in social. Guess what? It also helps when you're trying to get a customer to build rapport with you and trust you to do business with them because it raises, there's this thing called oxytocin that gets is a chemical that's released.
Yeah.
There's four different chemicals. We talked about that in our communication blueprint. I don't remember them all. Dopamine, some other stuff. Cortisol was a bad one. But those things are happening when you're in sales and you're able to attract people when you actually call your leads and then you're able to get them to relate with you.
Yeah, and I think also just it's the level playing field. I think everybody, especially being an online, I think personality, I guess I would dub myself. I don't see myself as that, right? And I think everybody, and you probably get it a lot, is oh, it's Cody Askins. Wow, he actually joined the call with me today. It's we both shit the same. You know what I mean? We're both humans.
Is that true for Canadians and Americans?
I don't know, but we both are humans. We both fuck up. We both make mistakes.
That's for and sure. I think I've seen you screw up a lot. Yeah. But let's be no, I've made an insane amount of mistakes,
a lot,
bro.
But that's why we're here. And I think everybody thinks that, you know, people are perfect. And putting that out in the light that you're not, it attracts way more people because they resonate with it.
Uh-huh. Yep. Yeah. And okay. It's interesting because if you ask a human being, do you want to make mistakes? They would say no. Mm. But successful people make more of them.
Mm.
And because they make mistakes, more of them, they learn from them, and they end up going farther because of the lessons that they learned. So it's interesting where your whole theme of calling leads is like, dude, take some imperfect action and actually go do something.
Yeah.
Where most people are so worried about the action they're taking and how they're going to take it that they delay the inevitable of what they knew they need to do.
And they just get into this analysis paralysis of like, it's got to be perfect. You know, I have two sales guys at home in the office, and one would, I can hand her a script and she'll just run it. And she will run the activity as much as she can. She won't ask questions. What does this mean? What does that mean?
Does she want to move to Missouri?
No. And then I have one who needs to know every last detail around it to be able to effectively do it. Now, not to say that either of them aren't good and talented, she will beat him any day of the week because she's willing to put in that action and not think about it.
Especially for the first 90 days, you know?
Yeah.
Because I have had some people that are more detailed individuals that end up being really good.
Mm-hmm.
It just takes them longer. Yep. And so actually, you bring up a good point. Like, we hire a lot of sales reps, and one of the things that we look for early on when we're hiring sales reps is we want to put them in as many uncomfortable environments as we possibly can, as quick as we can, to see what type of person we have. So like we're hiring remote reps all over the country right now for our Cody Askins LLC sales team. They're not selling insurance. And when we do that, they get a little bit of training, about 2.5 hours, a little bit of tech training. And then, boom, I want them to be on the phone for several hours their first day.
Go fall on your face.
Yes. And I tell them, yes, exactly. Fall on your face. Make mistakes. Freaking bomb. Do terrible. They're like, huh? No company's ever told me to just suck. I'm like, no. Terrible. And they're like, okay. Yeah. And we see who will actually listen and do. Because you get better by doing. And you learn by doing.
Mm.
You want to get skill? Do. Imperfect action. Skill will improve. And so we learn a lot about a rep by how much they want to make their desk perfect and understand the script and understand the products and read the PDFs. And
I need a better mic.
check in their headset and like,
it's the mic.
Mom, how does this sound? Jeez Louise, bro.
And even on the admin side, like not even just in the sales, like I just hired an assistant not too long ago. Shout out to Maddie. She, when her first week, I gave her signing authority on my bank account.
Wow.
People are like, what the hell? Why would you do that? Well, I would hate to be 6 years down the road and I finally give her a signing bonus and she goes and screws it up. I'd rather her steal from me in the first month and she's gone, right?
That's
so
funny.
I'm a fond believer of give them everything up front.
Yeah.
Give them all the responsibility up front and see what they do, because I'm sure you've heard the saying. I don't know who came up with the saying, but hire slow, fire fast, right? And I want to give them everything I can in responsibility right up the gate and then see what they do with it. And she's 100%. Been fantastic. So
that's amazing. Yeah. I mean, a lot of times we're looking for reasons to, I don't know if this should be saying this, but it's true. We look for reasons to fire salespeople in their first 1, 2, or 3 weeks.
Yep.
In-house staff, admin side, operational side. We work with a little bit more.
Yeah.
Salespeople, I don't put up with much. Like yesterday, a guy had 300 and something calls and 8 minutes of talk time. And I'm like, and he's on his second week, and I'm like, I don't think that's possible. You're either the worst person alive.
Or listening to One Ring.
Something's wrong. Yeah. Well, and so I'm like, screw it, get rid of that person, you know? And that's true. Like, if you're building a business, it's like, okay, you want to find the good people.
Yeah.
Clients. You want to find the good clients. Dude, there are people Chase McAllister won't work with. That's good.
Mm-hmm.
He runs his business however he wants, especially in Canada. I think.
So I think that comes from from me growing up in a pretty small town. I started doing, and I'd share this a lot, but I at 12 years old, I started cocaine.
Wow.
At 12, by 17, I was going to rehab.
Mm.
So at young age, I had made a lot of mistakes. Dang. Pretty bad mistakes.
You said by 12.
By 12. I was in grade 7 I started. And I grew up in a small town where there's nothing to do other than that, and heavily influenced by older people, and got into the wrong crowd, and seen a lot of crazy stuff. I seen a friend stabbed up in a bathtub by the time I was 16. I had seen a lot of crazy things. So for me, no problem or adversity could come in my way that I haven't already dealt with, and I dealt with it at a young age. It's probably why I'm gray at 29. but those things have really helped me keep grounded of, like, as a human, you know. I'm not perfect, and I share this with story with everybody that comes on. Like, I had it rough. And not rough in the sense of, like, I had a good family. I just did a lot of stupid stuff as a kid, and ultimately that has helped me get to a point where I have an insane amount of compassion for people and their mental health as well. And I think that's why I've become such a, I feel, and I'm not tooting my own horn, a great boss for people, because ultimately I understand that everybody has their own struggles and how to overcome those things. So since I was 17, haven't touched those things since. Amazing. But
good for
but
you.
Yeah, man. Like, growing up in a small rural town in Canada with nothing else to do other than those things was hard. So fast forward, started, you know, DJing at clubs in Toronto from 19 till I think I was 24, and then that lifestyle became dangerous to me again, and left that. Started working for a HVAC company as their marketing head. So built their website, built their sales up, and then quit the job, hired them as a client, thus starting Unreal Media Inc. But I've always kind of, I've never gone the straight and narrow. I think, like, didn't even go to college. I need 20 hours community service to get my grade 12 diploma, which I could write myself, but I didn't want it. Took my college tuition that I was thankful my parents had saved up for. Like, the $30,000, I bought a food truck. Went around Rib Fest series in Canada for like 2 years. Didn't work out.
That's cool.
Business partner was putting profits up his nose. So I had to exit. And then, worked at that marketing as the marketing head for that company, and then built the company we have now. But why I bring up the struggles I had as a kid was, like, everybody, you know, seems to think that, like, people that have success or seeing success have it easy or were some sort of level put in this position where they could do that. I mean, you know, both my parents are successful entrepreneurs but have never helped me in any shape or form monetarily, maybe advice, but to start this business. And I think some people think that everybody's perfect if they have their successes, but it's been nothing but mountains and mountains and mountains and mountains to overcome. And I think that's why I'm as resilient as I am. Now we have 220 subcontracted employees that are on the phones every day, and it's kind of wild to say.
That's amazing.
See where I came from and the people that know me from my hometown to see where I'm at now. It's pretty amazing for them to see that, because, you know, 7 years ago I was still a dumbass, you know, like, I was still doing stupid stuff. So it's it's wild.
Will you think that again in 7 years?
Yeah.
Dude, I appreciate you sharing that, man, and being vulnerable. That's really cool. I understand what you're saying, because I felt like I haven't been through as much as you've been through. But even what I've been through the last nine months or so, you know, family, finances, business, whatever, like, it has allowed me to definitely be a better leader for our team.
Yeah.
In a big way, you know. And naturally, I'm really difficult to work with for, whatever you want to say. Now, Dylan would probably disagree, because I trust Dylan to do his job, and he's freaking amazing. And I love Dylan. He's been here almost 6 years. I don't ever question Dylan's work. Honestly, I question everyone else's work, including mine, until Dylan says, no, it's good. And I'm like, done. Right? Which he can attest to, because I'm like, I am a control freak, and I micromanage, and I look at details. But when it comes to him, I'm like, it's going to be done right. It's going to be done pretty quick with high quality. you know, and detailed. Mm-hmm. And so these are all the things that you learn overall. One of the things I wanted to get to, though, when you're talking about leads, mm-hmm. I would love for the audience, a couple things. I would love for the audience to understand what you'll do.
Yeah.
And then after that, I would love for the audience to understand what you've noticed by the more successful agents that work with y'all.
Yeah. So we own multiple brands online, mostly, you know, Google search ads. So we generate about 20,000 leads a day, give or take 18 to 20. We turn those into live transfers. So we generate about 6,000 to 8,000 phone calls for both Medicare and final expense each day. Wow. Send to some pretty big call centers as well as single agents. We have a private community called the Xfer Syndicate, XFER, mm-hmm. where we bring single agents in, teach them how to use, you know, telesales to their full capacity, as well as train them and coach them along the way, and then provide them, you know, inbound calls each day. And so what I've noticed, and the biggest struggle is that even if they have success, it's the consistency of it, right? Mm-hmm. Like the guys that are really, really good, they might get, it's not that they're amazing at sales, they're just in the seat every day, 250 days of the year,
yeah,
right? And the guys that really struggle, they'll come in and they'll do really well, and then they see one little shiny object, or maybe they have one bad day. And I think in any new venture, it's like, first there's excitement, right? You're excited about it. You're like, wow, this is going to be amazing. Mm-hmm. You know, the excitement wears off. You're like, okay, this is a little bit harder work. You have one bad thing that happens, and that's where people quit. But correct. The people that are successful are the guys that push through that little bit of, you know, adversity, and then get to that gold. And I think a lot of agents struggle with that because there's so many options out there for them. There's so many ways to sell insurance, so many lead aggregates. They all work.
Yeah.
You just need to stick to one.
They've all had a successful testimonial by someone.
My cardboard sign with ink works as marketing. Like, all marketing
works.
You could
sell insurance with a cardboard sign if you stood out there long enough.
Exactly. It will happen.
100%.
100%.
Like, there's no way. And the only should prove that because it's 1,000% true.
Yeah, I will. Next clip.
Need a car insurance quote? Yeah. Whatever. Need life insurance?
And so
Got milk?
It's just consistency. Like, and I think Wetmore says this perfectly. Like, it's activity. It's just the activity. Like, if you just put the activity in, you'll beat everybody else. There's no way.
And you'll get better quicker.
Yeah, I think also, too, like, agents struggle. They want to be a business owner, but they want to be paid and work like an employee.
Yeah.
They don't want to deal with the cash flow issues. They don't want to deal with admin.
They don't invest in their business.
They don't want to add VAs to deal with their book. They want to add VAs to set more appointments. They just want to burn. And ultimately, what we train is like, okay, if you can take transfers, live transfers, you know that in a day you're going to have 10 conversations. You don't have to worry about the acquisitions now.
Correct.
Now what you worry about is keeping everything, right? So put in systems that you're reaching out to these clients on Valentine's Day, whatever it might be, right? And that's where your focus should be, not acquisition or finding new marketing types because this lead sucks and all leads suck.
Yeah.
pick your poison.
Correct.
They all
suck at times for sure. I like pick your heart too. And one of the things that I like about what you're sharing as well is, it's funny because one agent will be like, okay, I made $5,000 this week. They're like, oh my gosh, biggest week ever. I see it all the time in our Ultimate Agent Academy. Mm-hmm. Or my biggest month ever. It's amazing. How can I do the same thing next month and produce the same amount of income but work half as much?
Mm.
I'm like, you should really be asking, how can you double what you did? Not how can you do half as much to get the same results? You know, because if that was true, somebody would have figured it out.
I think that's also the misperception of live transfers too. They're like, oh, I don't have to dial. I don't have to do anything. It's still hard. You're still going to have to close them. You just don't have to worry about where your next conversation is coming from.
Correct.
Right? You know you're going to have the conversation.
There is
a
misconception around live transfers that because they can be amazing. I know a bunch of big companies that love them.
Yep.
And it's phenomenal for, let me just talk to people, right?
Yeah.
Great. That's what you really get paid to do anyway. But if they think, like, you know what? I'll be honest. I tried live transfers, not with Chase or Unreal Media Inc., but back in, I was in a little 1,400 square foot house out in Rogersville on 125 Walnut. Mm-hmm. I bought it for like 127 and sold it for like 142. Weird side notes. I don't live there anymore. See,
which is nuts.
It was that's Missouri. I was in 20. This would have been 2014, 2015, something like that. And only been married a year or two, a couple of years, whatever. And I tried Lime transfers through a really big company that you know of. Mm-hmm. They were really expensive too. And they kept telling me you have to bid. And the more you pay, the more likely you have a chance of getting them. Mm. I'm curious your thought on that, because I thought that was really intriguing, because they got me to bid a ton, which is just smart for if you're them. And I wasn't ready for them because I'd never worked them. And I assumed they're all ready to buy. Mm. No, dude, nobody's freaking ready to buy.
Nobody wakes up in the morning like, oh, hey, I need life insurance. Let me call. Right. Right?
Correct. It's
I think a lot of agents too, they try to sell on logic. Like, I have 30 plus carriers, we're gonna find the best price for you. But ultimately you're selling yourself. You're not selling
Correct.
A policy.
Correct.
And I think a lot of times, especially this is one of the things we should struggle with new guys that come into the program, is they automatically say, okay, I'm just gonna qualify, make sure that they're ready to buy in the first a minute. And then you're never gonna know if somebody's a
they
buyer.
They do try to game the buffer.
Yeah.
Time too.
And a lot of our programs we don't offer a buffer. We do for That's some, cool. but the guys that don't take a buffer actually end up having way more production because they're leaving no stone unturned.
Correct.
Right. And our thing is, if I sit down with you after you've taken 20, 50 calls, and I pick out 2 to 3 guys that you sold, and I ask you, name me 3 things about the person that has nothing to do with their health, nothing to do with their finance, nothing to do with their policy. And if you can tell me that, I know that you've spent enough time with this person.
Yeah.
Right? And a lot of times people will get the person on the phone, ask them a couple quick questions, and go straight into the application.
Yeah.
Our guys are spending 10 to 15 minutes talking about themselves, talking about like the prospect, and covering who they are, what they do, how their life is, what's their situation, aside from the policy. And the biggest thing is, sustained change happens when an emotional shift happens, right? And if it's just logical, you're not going to have sustained. You're going to have a lot of chargebacks, right? So, for example, somebody comes on and, oh, I already have a policy. Well, let's review the price. I might be able to save you a couple bucks. What do you currently have? Mm. If somebody tells you they have current coverage, we say, awesome, perfect. That's why they got you over to me. I specialize in that specific station. I'm just going to find out if, one, you have the right policy, two, you have the most amount of coverage, and three, you're paying the right amount. But before we get into that, who are you worried about financially when you pass away? You're disregarding the policy that they have. We'll get to that when we get to the quote section, right? It's just pushing forward, because that they're just using that as an objection to get off the call. And a lot of times they have like a policy through work, which we all know sucks. Mm-hmm. So I think agents, they always try to sell on logic. And that's like the Instead worst thing you can do. Yeah. And life insurance is a fully emotional sale. That's why I think a lot of Medicare agents, and sorry, this might piss some people off, a lot of Medicare agents that have done just Medicare and try to do life, they struggle. Yeah. They really struggle because it's but Medicare is more of a order take. It's
Do you hate Medicare agents?
No, I love Medicare agents. I love Medicare agents. But it's two different things.
Oh, it's totally different.
Two different things. And a lot of life agents, if they sold Medicare, sorry to the Medicare agents, they do fairly well.
Yeah, it's easy.
It's easier for them.
Easier transition from life to Medicare than Medicare to life. I 1,000% agree. Yeah. I was at a big PNC office, and they were top 10 office in the country with a huge PNC insurance carrier. And they were trying to sell life insurance the same way they were giving car insurance quotes. And they were wondering why we weren't selling very many. And I'm like, yeah, because you're trying to sell it in 7 minutes, bro, with no emotion and no rapport, no value.
The auto is a logical sale. You need it,
And it is very price
based,
And so, it was funny that you say that, because I noticed that.
And even life agents still try to do that, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know, we were talking about off camera, but we had a guy that came in and he wrote like $60,000 in a month, but then we look and he was writing apps in 20 minutes.
Correct.
How are you writing an entire application? You can do it. I'm sure you can, but how are you even doing it effectively so that way you're keeping that book? And I can tell you, 2 months later, 90% of that stuff fell off. And then, of course, it's my fault because it's the lead vendor's fault always, right?
Always.
But you're not taking enough time to sell yourself, right?
Yeah, I want to add, too. I like that you're mentioning this. For anybody that's listening, I can make money with any lead source in the world.
Mm-hmm.
I just could. Now, I was telling Chase about a story about how an ex-employee of a lead vendor came to me, actually wanting to work with me now, because they said this lead vendor that they were working with had sold leads to a big company.
Mm-hmm.
And they promised this company it would be fresh, new, exclusive leads. Well, then the lead vendor was losing money on the order. So the lead vendor had a meeting with the executive team, and they called this ex-employee into the meeting that was working with them at the time. And the lead vendor was trying to decide if it was unethical to pipe in old age leads into a new lead order. And they determined that it was not unethical, and it was totally fine. And they pretty much shafted this company and insurance agency and gave them all age leads to fill the rest of their big order. And then they became profitable. And then this ex-employee left and told me all about it. So I say that to also share that who you work with on that side of the business matters.
Yeah.
And be very, very careful who you give money to.
And I think also, like, we have a bunch of people that spread rumors. We recycle our leads. We do all that. We don't. We get audited all the time by TCBA because we are so closely in the telemarketing stream that we get audited all the time. And if I'm selling age leads, it's totally illegal. But I'd like to add to that. I guarantee, which is crazy, but to your earlier point, I guarantee that the company that they sold all those age leads didn't even know.
Correct.
Probably sold them all. And then that goes to show that it's just the mindset. It's not the lead.
Yeah.
Because if you think, if I handed you a piece of data and said, hey, this guy just requested information about life insurance.
Correct.
And you call him and you don't talk about the opt-in, you're going to make a sale.
Yeah.
And that just says, like, it's the conversation you have with people.
Yeah.
And all marketing works.
Well, right? And people won't believe that, but I started out cold calling and cold door knocking. No leads, period. New, aged, didn't matter. And sold plenty of insurance.
Yeah.
Literally just cold door knocking, you know. It's crazy. What else would you like to add to bring value to our audience before we wrap it up today?
Yeah, so ultimately, like, we keep our slots pretty limited for the syndicate, but we do two programs. We have an endless outbound, so you get access to the same dialer and database as our call center that uses to generate 6,000 to 8,000 calls a day. That you get access to, and you can dial endlessly from Sunday to Sunday, 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern, whenever you want. And you can have as many leads as you possibly want. Yeah, of course, you might get told to screw off a couple times when you're dialing thousands of leads.
Sure.
But you don't have to worry about a lead cost. You have one flat fee, and you can dial endlessly. On the other side, we have an unlimited inbound program, where it's one flat fee. If you're active in the system, you can take as many live transfers as you want. What that's done for us and for our agents is they stop thinking about the lead price when they're on the call, and they start caring.
Mm.
And they start giving a shit about the conversation. And so that's we cool. Actually, when we started the program was like, okay, how do we get the cost down for the agent, but also maintain our LTV and increase our LTV?
Mm-hmm.
So it was like, okay, let's go on an unlimited, take as many calls as you want, and stop thinking about the call price. What happened was 19% increase in production across the board, which seems like a small number, but that's huge.
That's big.
And it's just from the mindset of them not having thinking, one, about the buffer, oh, I need to qualify this guy in 90 seconds so I don't pay. Thinking about a lead cost, 60, 30, whatever it might be.
Yep.
They're just thinking about the conversations that they're having and going all through. So that's been the biggest game changer, and that's why we do it. We don't sell leads. We don't sell calls. You can't just buy per call. It's a flat fee, it's a seat, and you can take as many as you want. And we found that's the giving the best success.
That's awesome.
And then the one piece of value I could give, if there's one thing that I would love to just leave with the audience,
please,
which has made the biggest impact in my life, and if I just had this one thing to bring up to the guys, would be just call your fucking leads back. And that's it, baby.
Let's go. Call your leads.
Call your damn leads, guys.
Let's do it, man.
Cody, I really appreciate you having me on, man.
Thanks,
I know
bro.
It's kind of a crazy conversation. Lots has been talked about. I'm sure we could talk for hours and hours
easy,
and hours.
Easy.
We'll end this here, guys. Call your leads.
Cool. Thanks, brother. If they want to check out, what site or link should they go to?
Yeah, you can go to www.unrl.io/xfer. X-F-E-R.
Cool. Perfect. I love it. Okay, this has been this conversation definitely went over the place, but I can tell you there was a ton of little nuggets that were dropped throughout this to help you understand lingo and marketing and the world of leads and marketing, transfers, etc. Appreciate Chase flying from Toronto, not on his own private jet yet,
no,
to Springfield, Missouri to hang out and do this in studio. So appreciate you being here.
It was economy.
I know, dude. It's hard for me not to try fly first class at this point, too, to be honest. It really is. I'm bougie now, man.
This is the thing. Okay? I have a thing. It's like if it's more than 5-hour flight, first class. If it's an hour flight and I'm by myself, I honestly don't care. I'm also terrified of flying. If I can sit beside somebody,
yeah.
It's the best for me.
That's hilarious.
I can't stand flying. So.
Travel tips with Chase.
Yeah.
You guys are amazing. Thanks for listening to the podcast. We'll see you on the next one. Adios.
Hey, if you enjoyed this, I got another one you're going to love. It's right there. Click on it. See you in there.
I'm so excited for today's CA Power Player podcast. I'm your host, Cody Askins. We got a special guest. He is back on the channel talking about how to sell life insurance from home. Here's what I love about this person. Yeah, I'm telling you, this will be one of the best.